Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
For the curious, indeed, it is 17 minutes past six. And in our fitness corner today, we are talking something so key, so important that I'm excited to welcome on the line Alueta Mendez, because you'd have heard this past week reports around a silent protest at a Randburg magistrate's court appearance of a drunken driver, or allegedly drunken driver, who is alleged to have killed a Joburg cyclist. So Stop Killing Cyclists SA aims to stop the killing of some of the killings of cyclists on the roads through driver negligence, and they want to improve the policing on our roads and ensure that justice is served to those who are responsible. So let's say hi to the organization's founder, Alueta Mendez. Good morning, Alueta. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Refilwe and listeners. Thank you very much for having us on your show.
It's a pleasure. Unfortunately, not the best circumstances. But, you know, Alouette, talk to me about the founding of Stop Killing Cyclists in South Africa. I guess the context being, how do we treat cyclists on the roads? Are motorists incredibly selfish and reckless and negligent? To what extent?
Well, the Stop Killing Cyclists campaign started because of the reckless driving on the road. Friends of ours were killed in November. They were run over by a taxi. He was speeding to a red robot early in the morning, one Saturday morning on the 30th of November. And Franz Dace and Janine Hopkins died on the scene. And that is really what sparked this campaign. It had been something on my mind for a couple of years because of my husband having his accident only 3 years ago, and he survived. So this was something that just sort of was triggered in myself. And after our friends died, Janine's partner, Dawn, and myself decided this is it. This time where we say enough is enough and we have to start doing something about this.
Yeah. So this is a very big a task that you have taken upon yourself. And I want to find out from you, Alouette, before we talk about and remind each other of exactly what the rules of the road are and what driver and motorist etiquette, if we can call it that, should look like. Let's just talk about the facts of who you're talking to when you organize and when you are in educating people. Are you talking to the public at large? Are you only speaking to law enforcement so that there are heavier punishments? Who are you speaking to exactly, and who do you hope will be impacted as soon as possible?
Look, there's obviously the three factors involved. First of all, the cyclists. It's very important that the cyclists obey the rules of the road. So obviously that would help to prevent accidents from happening. And then most importantly, the drivers who are on the road as well, that need to treat us with respect and adhere to the road rules as well. So that there's obviously, you know, that combats any accidents from happening. And then, of course, the law enforcement who needs to clamp down on those who do break the law, whether it be a cyclist or whether it be a motorist. More action needs to be taken on our roads, and the policing needs to be improved on our roads. Definitely the three.
The attitude... Carry on. Carry on. You had a long pause there. I assumed you'd finish speaking. Carry on.
No problem. And just with regards to, obviously, cycle safety, we have a whole... there is a website that people can get onto. It's the Pedal Power website. And they can actually... There is a course where they can actually read through what they need to do to be able to cycle safely, and we firmly believe that the clubs, especially with the new riders and parents with children that are so into it, need to look at that very carefully and ensure that the riders are ready to go onto the road before you know, they actually do. There's quite a bit involved with regards to the bicycle, with regards to the gear that you're wearing, your safety, helmet, etc., which is very, very important. And then, of course, controlling the bike.
Sure.
So that you can drink, do your hand signals, you know, control the bike if there is a situation that you need to avoid, for example, a pothole or another rider that's maybe, you know, done something in front. So it's very, very important that the cyclists know these rules and adhere to them.
Mm. So once cyclists know these rules and do adhere to them, Alouette, I think what I'm also interested in is your organization also aims to have the policing of our roads improved. What kind of interactions have you had with law enforcement and police, and are they receptive to this, or what has been the reception?
Look, we are a new organisation. We only formed in February. We did attend a government workshop with the Minister of Transport in March, where we were discussing these things. And so not much actually has been done at this point. But we do feel that the policing should be improved, that obviously it's just an ongoing concern in general, about how the motorists are breaking the law. But we find as well that with regards to roadworthiness of vehicles,
sure,
there's not enough clampdown on that to ensure that the vehicles are roadworthy, that they adhere to the rules of the road, the speed limits. And if they do break the law, that something actually does happen to them. Because until something is done, everybody's going to take the laws in their own hands and do what they want on the road. And that's our concern.
Mm.
I was in Scotland visiting my daughter in December, and it's amazing to see the difference in a place that actually is police, where the people actually drive carefully and that you don't see any, or very, very, very few. We didn't even see one road accident or incident while we were there in the space of 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite interesting to see it versus a country like Scotland versus here, where there's more policing on the road.
Sure.
It really makes a difference.
Mm. So you're talking about visibility as well as just one thing on your list that you feel made a difference.
Yes, and just that the drivers respect the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know if they break the law in any way, whether it be an unlicensed vehicle, unroadworthy vehicle, or whether they actually break the speed limit or drink and drive, they will be arrested, and there is no doubt about it. So they just don't do it, and that's as simple as that.
Mm. Alouette, so, you know, we are under lockdown level 3, and South Africans of, you know, from every avenue of life, are finding new ways that they might not necessarily have turned to pre-COVID or pre-lockdown to get out and about. I mean, I've got two friends that have recently started cycling. Never would have figured them for cyclists, but it's also that need to move when generally every other facet of life is constricted, right? And you can't feel as free as you might have doing your usual things. And I imagine cycling is just one of those activities, should you be able to, which opens up a different avenue of life and a way of being out and about in a way that you wouldn't be able to enjoy should you try to be in malls or densely packed areas. How can motorists create a friendly environment for cyclists on the road? And we're going to now go back to the ABCs, because it seems like a no-brainer that, yes, follow the road rules, but really, how should motorists be thinking about being on the road? We're in a big, bulky car that has a bumper, that's got airbags, that's got seat belts. And cyclists are essentially straddling an aluminium frame, and a helmet is all they have for protection.
Exactly. This is where the problem comes in, that we are small and pretty much insignificant to the size of the vehicles or the trucks or the buses. So the motorists need to to change their mindset and view us as if we were a car, and see us in the same light and understand that we are allowed to be in that space and that they need to respect us. You set an example of the in the case where they've got the donkey carts still going in some areas, and the vehicles that pass them slow down. You know, wait for them or pass them carefully not to injure the animal. So, you know, we need to be treated in the same respect where if there is a cyclist on the road that you view it as, you know, another vehicle, another life, and that you slow down and pass them carefully, or if there's enough space, you are allowed to go over the, obviously, the white line if there's no oncoming traffic, sure, to pass them up the cyclist. You know, give us that at least 1 meter distance, so that if something happens and the bike wobbles or there's a pothole, that, you know, that the cyclist is safe. You know, I think it's just the mutual respect that needs to happen on the roads with regards to the motorists. We're not just cyclists, as we say, we are people. We could be your doctor that you knock over and need in the future. We are wives and husbands, you know, brothers and sisters, and it's very important that the motorist starts to see us as such.
And, you know, as you mentioned, you are a relatively young organization. I'm curious to find out, or perhaps any sense of why it is that motorists feel as though cyclists have no business being on the roads, as though they're not legitimate road users. How should cyclists be behaving if they are misbehaving in any way? But fundamentally, any sense of why motorists feel so aggressive and so angry towards cyclists?
Seems to be an ongoing problem that's occurred over the years, and especially with cycling becoming more and more popular with regards to sport. So you will find large groups of cyclists going out on the road and taking up an entire lane, which motorists get irritated over. So I think that's sort of where it starts, where there are groups of cyclists that possibly, you know, do take up the road. And, sometimes they do not obey the laws. I mean, if you can imagine 20 to 30 cyclists at a time or riding in single file, sometimes that is not possible. It's sometimes safer for them, especially if it's a double lane,
sure,
for them to take up, you know, the left-hand side of the road and then leave the second lane open for motorists. So, yeah, it is difficult to, you know, to do that at times. Obviously, the cyclists, when they are in a, or on a road, really, that has a very narrow sort of area to ride, they will then generally ride, you know, most groups in single file until it's safe to then obviously ride two abreast, and if it allows, sometimes three abreast, especially in the large groups. It's an ongoing fight, I think, between the cyclists and the motorists.
For the more casual, you know, cyclists or bike users who are effectively, I guess, either for leisure or, you know, going to work, etc., have bike lanes in and around Joburg been effective or helpful or useful at all? I know it hasn't taken place or taken over everywhere, but have those been useful interventions?
Well, they are busy with that, obviously, in the cities, in Cape Town and Joburg, for instance. But it's not possible,
sure,
obviously, at this point in the other areas. So I'm not sure in the cities if it is effective. Again, motorists and taxis and buses, you know, taxis in bus lanes,
sure,
in peak hour traffic, there's just no control on the road. So pretty much in the cities, everybody drives how they want to get to work or wherever they're going. There's no sort of control.
Alouette Mendes, thank you so much for your time. We'll have to leave it right there. The founder of Stop Killing Cyclists South Africa.